Good afternoon. My name is Maya Nguyen, and I am a student board member at the Clark Forum for Contemporary Issues. On behalf of the Clark Forum Student Project Managers and Student Board and the Student Senate, I would like to welcome you all to this afternoon's panel discussion, The Culture of Hip-Hop. Hip-hop is an American creation which originated in the South Bronx during the late 1970s. Following its birth, the hip-hop movement expanded to other parts of the United States and has even emigrated to other countries. It is said to be composed of four main pillars: breaking, which is a form of dance, DJing, usually associated with scratching on a turntable, MCing, the master of ceremonies, who pumps up the crowd, and graffiti. Hip-hop also can include hip-hop fashion, slang, and beatboxing. A unique culture emerged from this combination of hip-hop elements. Each aspect of hip-hop provides a vehicle through which people can express themselves. For instance, it has been used to give voice to marginalized groups who want to convey their societal and personal struggles, and for individuals to voice their political concerns and ideals. This afternoon's panel will be moderated by Mrs. Paula Lima-Jones, who is the Director of the Office of Diversity Initiatives. We're also joined by a panel of students from Dickinson, who are both knowledgeable and passionate about hip-hop. This panel includes Enrico Zamarchi, an American Studies major in Italian, or TA for Italian, Ben Rosenfeld, a sophomore biology major, Priscilla Colon, a freshman who is undeclared, and Priscilla Cruz, who is a freshman biochemistry major. At this time, I would like to remind the audience to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Also, please hold all of your comments until the question and answer session at the end of the program. Since this event is being taped and some of our audience members may be hearing impaired, please wait for a microphone to reach you before beginning to speak. And now, please join me in welcoming the panelists and moderator.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're actually, since we're a little bit of a smaller crowd, I'm going to switch it up a little bit and make it more interactive. So I'm going to ask questions to the panel, but also to the audience, probably interspersed. And so we're probably going to wait, if you could still wait for the mic to get to you. So, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I want to begin. Maya gave kind of a brief overview of what hip-hop is, but I want to ask you all to kind of define what is hip-hop? What is hip-hop culture to you? What are the most important aspects of hip-hop culture? So if you could speak to that in any order.
Good afternoon to everyone. Basically, hip-hop is, as a professor said, a culture made up of these four basic elements, which are DJing, MCing, b-boying, and graffiti. Sometimes maybe included beatboxing. The great Chuck D defined it as the black CNN, and basically defined it as a jazz-controlled alternative which could pull the race together back again. Today, though, hip-hop is very different from what was at that time, and I find that it's very commodified. Due to its multiform nature, basically, it's even more prone to be commodified because the big corporations, I guess, may exploit it even more with respect to any other musical genre. So, what remains of hip-hop, to me, it seems, is basically in the underground scene, which may promote and come back to the origins of the message, and that's my basic hope for hip-hop.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. What hip-hop means to me, besides the four elements that he clearly explained, it's more like a lifestyle, and this lifestyle I did grow up with. So me, it's basically it accompanies a life of music, arts, fashion that people actually live and go through. It may be commodified, it may be altered, but still it's in like an evolutionary culture that just keeps growing. So hip-hop is most strongly for me is the message within the lyrics, the fashion, and in the graffiti and everything in that culture. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I agree with what the two previous panelists said for the most part, but I would focus in even more and say that for me it is really the message. It, and regardless of what the message is, whether it's a good influence on society or not so much as a lot of it turns out to be. But the message, and as long as it's interesting and novel and something original, that's the part that I really love and that keeps me coming back.
To me, hip-hop is more of a vent system, and I believe that we will talk about more or less why I believe that later on, or like how hip-hop started in the first place. But the reason that I feel like hip-hop always has a story to tell is because people find it as an artistic way to tell the truth. And so that's why I love hip-hop so much, not only hearing the stories, but listening to the beats all the time, and artistic abilities that I put into these works, whether it be graffiti or dancing or b-boying or anything. So hip-hop to me is more of like a vent system in many ways.
So some of you have alluded to this in our earlier discussion. We had this conversation, is it the beats or is it the lyrics that are the most important? And so some of them were a little split, so I wondered if you guys could share a little bit about what you think. Is it the beats or it's the lyrics? And this is more in regards to rap music or the musical forms that come out of hip-hop.
Or what's more important?
Yeah. What do you think it is? What makes hip-hop in the musical form? Is it the beats or is it the lyrics? Anyone can answer. It doesn't matter what the order.
I honestly feel it's a combination of both, because you can't have one without the other. And that medium in between great beats and great lyrics, that's what makes hip-hop excel. Without one, you really can't have the other being so great.
I would say that, at least for me, I think the trend, the current trend, is definitely moving away from what I really think is the more important part, but I definitely would say the message and the words, the stories. The production definitely is there. It can contribute a lot to it, but I would say that it's just kind of support for the rapper to say what's on his mind. And that I think that right now it's moving towards the pop direction, where it's just trying to get the good beats so it gets airplay in the clubs, and moving towards dance and stuff like that. But at the heart of it, I definitely think that it's the words that matter, and then the beat. If you have a great beat, then that's what makes a great song, but it's not, it needs to go in that order. It needs to be words first, beat second.
I would say I would have to agree with Priscilla that it's pretty much equal in my mind, because I know, like Ben was saying, that there might not be as much value to the words that I put into the hip-hop songs today, but I do feel like beatboxing and all the beats that I put into the music really make the music more interesting, because sometimes you won't even listen to a song if it doesn't have a good beat. But then again, like if you go to rap battles and things like that, what's really most important is the words and how well you could diss the other opponent that you're going against. So it just depends on what you're looking for, but in actuality, at the end of the day, like they both kind of weigh out each other, and they make the craft together very unique. And without one or the other, it won't be as creative, as a creative genius as it would be with both.
Well, as a foreigner, I basically used to get in touch with hip-hop through the message that was said. And due to the fact that maybe at the beginning, and as well as now, I didn't understand all of the rap songs, I used to stop the track and pay more attention to the lyrics, analyzing and translating them into my own language. Therefore, in the beginning, I guess that the emceeing part, and so the message, was the most important. At the same time, though, due to its commodification, I find that now the DJing part might be a good tool and a good strategy to create this kind of message, not in an explicit way, so through the lyrics, but through acts which might be considered as political. For example, the sampling part. And so if I decide to sample some particular aspects of a culture, I might be political through the use of the DJing part.
So let's talk a little bit more about the messages. Each of you made some mention about the lyrics or the message that hip-hop is sending through its music or through just the culture in general. What is that message? What is resonating with you that you're kind of that you are all drawn to hip-hop? What is that message?
For me, the message is kind of, it doesn't really matter what the message is. It's like a good movie. Like, as long as they're saying something that's interesting, novel, something original, it could be about almost anything, and I'll listen to it. But it can't just be random words that I feel like a lot of rap nowadays is just like, the words are kind of secondary to the beat, and the beat holds up the whole song. That's the only reason that it's actually out there, and the words are, there's words and they're rhyming, but there's not really much actually being said. So for me, I mean, it could be a story or it could just be a commentary on life in general, but there has to be some overarching point to the song. And if you're lucky and you get a good album, there might be a common theme through the whole album, which I really like.
Hip-hop draws me in, again, like I was saying, how it's an event system. I feel like when I listen to it, Priscilla was mentioning the other day, that when you put on the headphones, that you're going into a different world, which I totally agree with. And so when I choose the music that I listen to, I'm choosing a world that I want to enter and that I want to experience when I listen to the music. Or if, like, personally, I'm a dancer, so when I want to express myself through that way, because I always say like dance is my first language, and it's the one thing that always allowed me to be able to like talk to people without necessarily talking to people, because I was always a shy person, but now I'm not. But like that's what draws me to hip hop, is that it always gave me a place to go when there was really nowhere in reality that I could go to.
Well, like I was going to say, it's basically a story, but sometimes I have to agree, like, some of the stories you don't want to listen to, and that's because they're either random words or stories that you don't want to listen to because of bad memories. So I feel like hip-hop, if you put a good collection together, lyrics-wise, you can tell your life story through those songs. For example, one of the songs, I think it was Roses by Kanye West, every February 1st, where my grandmother died, I will constantly listen to that song because that reminded me of that scene when she passed away. So sometimes the lyrics are actually like hold our memories. So those memories are held within the song. I think that's what binds hip hop to people, because they hold those memories together with the song.
Well, for the most part of the hip hop acts I choose to listen, hip-hop to me sounds like an encyclopedia or something like a full list of references to things that I don't know and I'm interested in knowing even more. Once again, the importance of not being an English native language speaker means to me that basically when I don't know something and I'm passionate about the artist, I stop and I document myself, and I got even more into the song, analyzing it. So the messages that hip-hop give to me are various, but at the same time they are very important, because they in some way they educate me.
So let's stick with this. We also talked earlier about hip-hop going global, and so can you tell us a little bit about, so there's a particular message maybe that the U.S.-based hip-hop is bringing. How does that translate for you in terms of what's going on in Italy or what's going on in other forms of the globalization? So I'm going to direct the question to Enrico, mm-hmm. but everybody else can also weigh in terms of the global message that maybe hip-hop has maybe stayed the same or transcended. How is it influenced by its geography, its space, its context?
Well, when we talk about hip-hop, once again, we try to consider the emceeing part and the DJing part as prominent, while the fact of being so multiform, it can develop a whole world which can be expanded even more in a global way. And so, since the beginning, basically, hip-hop expanded all over Europe, and it touched especially Italy and France. Sorry. And in the Italian case, it was born at the end of the 80s, basically. And despite the fact that initially it imitated somehow the... Despite the fact that initially it imitated the American way of doing hip-hop, it soon developed an original style which involved a lot of facts related to the Italian culture, and due to the fact that the Italian politics at that time was so bad, it developed a whole political sector. So basically, hip-hop is a way of expressing. And as a way of expressing your own ideas, it can be changed depending on your area, I guess.
Do any of the other panelists want to weigh in?
I think that a lot of times, when I listen, I don't really know that many international hip hop artists that are, or at least non English speaking, but. When I hear them, I would say that is probably the one exception to what I said earlier about there has to be some kind of story or something being said, because if I can't understand them, but just the fact, I don't know, it's just the novelty, at least for me. I really just like listening to that and hearing the rhyming in a different language that I'm not familiar with. And there's some British rap and some... Yeah, I guess it would mainly be from England. But I would say the common theme, even though it's from a different country and international, the common theme is life and the struggle, because nobody has a perfect life. So as long as there's something to complain about and something that you want to change, there's going to be people who are going to want to rap about it.
I definitely agree with both panelists. I used to have a channel called the International Music Feed, which allowed me to actually sample music videos from various countries, particular rap. So I used to listen to French rap, and so when I would actually listen to a song, I found it very interesting because of the way it was presented. But when I actually got to the lyrics, like you said, it was about the struggles, about the life. I feel like hip-hop is more of a seed when it comes to globalization. When it takes the wind and plants to whatever country it does, it starts off with the similar foundations, but within the region itself, it gets personalized to the country and then becomes something of its own, something of a unique flower that blossoms and then makes something completely different and great. And that's what makes hip-hop so, I guess, attractive, because you can make it whatever you want.
I would say hip-hop is definitely contagious. Once you hear one song, I'm pretty sure you've heard more than one song of hip-hop. And so I had went to Thailand recently, and when I went there, the Thai people that I was staying with had Thai hip-hop, and I didn't know that existed. So now it's on my iPod, but I really enjoyed the beats that was made, the way that the rapper rapped, and to be honest, I had no idea what the rapper was saying, because I do not speak Thai. But I did understand that they were speaking hip-hop, because hip-hop is now, a language in many forms. And so I also have Indian friends that I went to school with, and we would always watch Bollywood movies and things like that. And we was watching this one movie, and after the movie came a sequel of a hip-hop video, and it was called The Bluff Master. And it was just really interesting, looking at how they felt hip-hop, what they felt hip-hop was. And again, I didn't understand what they were saying, but I knew that he was rapping again in a different language. So I'm more than positive that hip-hop has transcended to many different cultures. But again, it's sort of becoming a universal language now, because everyone speaks it in their own way.
Thank you. I want to shift a little bit for those of you who attended Mark Anthony Neal's discussion. He brought up something that I thought was very interesting. So he was talking about hip-hop venturing into white suburbia and the impact that that had on those growing up listening to hip-hop. And he made this suggestion that hip-hop culture won the presidency for Obama. And he says this in the sense that here you had these young white men and women listening, growing up listening to hip-hop, so listening to a black man's rendition or a Latino man's rendition of their experiences, and it was easier for them to translate that kind of validity into having trust and kind of confidence. I'm really paraphrasing what he was saying in terms of Obama. So I wanted to kind of get your reactions in terms of maybe the impact that hip-hop has had on the culture of the presidential election, if you agree with that or if you disagree, and just its impact on the generation that has grown up in the hip-hop era, if you will.
I would say that I have to agree on some aspects, but not all. I do not feel that the only reason Obama won was because of hip-hop, because Obama is an incredible man, and he deserved to win for many more reasons than just, like the vote of those who loved hip-hop. But and he also mentioned, Mark Anthony Neal, that a lot of, like, the reason that Obama won was because, like, hip-hop encouraged people who never voted before, particularly mm-hmm. in the Latino and African-American culture, to come out and vote. But I don't really feel like it was only hip-hop that did so. He had a really great campaign that allowed, like, so-called minorities, I'm not really a fan of that word, but to come out and vote. And I remember seeing in BET, like, I would watch the Grammys or something, and then you'll see, like, P. Diddy saying on stage in front of, like, you know, millions of people was watching this, like, you know, vote for Obama. Like, we're really happy that, you know, he's in the process of becoming president. And so I can see how, like, hip-hop artists had their own campaigns for him. But I can't say that that's the only thing that had him win. But it was definitely an impact. But I'm not going to also say that the listening and growing up in hip-hop was the reason that they also voted for Obama, too, because Obama has nothing to do with hip-hop. Just because he's a black man doesn't mean that he's, like, a part of hip-hop, because he's not only black, he's also white. And I think people also forget that. And even if you are white, that doesn't mean that you don't like hip-hop either, that you couldn't have, like, grown up in it as well. It doesn't really have much to do with race for me. Maybe just the start, but not the finish.
Thank you. I feel like hip-hop was the, I guess, campaign foundation, as into advertising. I mean, his campaign was very, very strong about this, but the hip-hop, if you think about hip-hop, people continue listening to hip-hop, sooner or later, those rappers become role models in some fashion to whoever listens to it. Doesn't matter what ethnicity or color, they're going to be like, oh, if he said this, this probably has a good reason. But some people will be like, oh, this is a good reason, let me find out why. So it exposed Obama more to a broader group, especially one of the strongest groups in America would be the 18 to 25-year-old range, because they're one of the most radical. If you have that vote, most likely you will win elections, because then they'll influence their parents, influence everyone around them, because they're very radical. So hip-hop laid that advertising and exposure foundation for Obama's campaign. Since it was on BET, think of how many kids our age actually watch BET or MTV, just for Kanye West or Jay-Z. Jay-Z actually wrote a song about the Obama candidacy for him to win. My president is black. So people actually listen to him because they actually respect and admire Jay-Z. So people who respect or admire has to figure out why does he admire so much. So that was the exposure Obama had. So I feel in many aspects that hip-hop was one of the main causes that Obama did win.
Well, I basically agree with Priscilla when she says that hip-hop was one of the main causes, together probably with the internet. Once again, recalling the metaphor that Chuck D used, in the 80s, rap and the hip-hop culture was the black CNN. Now, the hip-hop genre and the hip-hop culture as a whole became mainstream. And becoming mainstream, basically, it got to it also many more possibilities to influence and to create connections with many other scenes. One of these is politics. So I think that what was in the 80s the Black CNN now is more like an alternative media, which is as valid as many other official television medias, as well as the internet and so on. So I totally agree with Mark Anthony Neal when he says that basically hip-hop influenced very, very, very much the election of Obama.
I don't really have that much to add. I agree partly with what everybody said, but I don't know. I wouldn't really put too much emphasis on the effect that hip-hop had on getting Obama elected. He ran a spectacular campaign, so I guess part of that must have been the fact that he had the support of the hip-hop artists who have the ear of middle America, suburban, white youth, and that obviously definitely played some role in it. I don't know how much, but I think it's more interesting to talk about how hip-hop has expanded out of just the inner cities and is such a part of suburbia. And I guess I'm kind of living proof of that, coming from suburban New Jersey, the effect that it's had on my life and that it's even reached me. I think that's definitely something to talk about.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. Can you explain, we talked earlier about the racial politics around the producers maybe of hip-hop, and by producers I'm talking about rappers, fashion designers, being maybe largely represented as African-American, Latino, versus the mass consumption, and this is particularly on in terms of the music sales, being white young men. So how has hip-hop kind of extended what you were saying, Ben, but also to, for the rest of the panelists also to weigh in terms of the racial politics between those two groups?
I would say that the main reason that it's expanded like that and so exponentially into the suburbia and to white middle class, and I think it's just the nature of entertainment. It's something that people haven't heard before. It's something that people, well, I mean, people have heard it now, but originally it was something so novel and so different. And just because you don't relate directly to it and it doesn't talk about your life and where you come from, in a way, that makes it that much more interesting because it's, I used the same analogy earlier, it's like watching a great movie. You know, a lot of people like mafia movies, but that doesn't mean that the only target demographic of these movies are mafiosas. Like, it's just entertainment, and I think that's as simple as I can put it.
I definitely agree with your statement as being a great movie, but I also think one of the reasons why hip hop is so expansive is because the metaphors they use within the lyrics as well, because they use cultural lyrics to link people together, and someone who'd never been exposed to that you'd be questioning, I don't understand why this lyric is. So you actually go look in the lyrics, and then you get more and more involved because hip-hop links to older songs, future songs, and cultural issues, personal problems. So in that way, you're diving into a culture itself just by listening to one song that grabs people.
When I turn on a song, sometimes it's almost like an anthropological experience, like a cultural education, hearing a story of something that I've never been exposed to in my own personal life.
Like one of the songs on Nas's Lost Tapes, the first song, I don't remember the actual title, he talks about the 80s, about the different clothing styles. So you're thinking, what is this hat? What is he talking about? And then when you actually go to look for it, you realize, oh, that was the style back in the 80s hip-hop scene. And then you go look, be like, what else was in the hip-hop scene? So it definitely branches off completely in that one example. Did you want to?
I basically agree with Ben. about what he had to say. I mean, being a white, lower middle class Italian kid, I don't feel any kind of pressure about the way how I like hip hop. Basically, I began as a white middle, well, lower middle class. I'm still white. I still like hip hop. And the thing is, it may be full of metaphors, which may force me to go and look more in depth about the lyrics, or it can be very explicit, and I might like it even more. So if some African American raps says that he has some problem with the police, for example, that doesn't mean that I don't have the same issues and that I can understand him even if in a different way. Mm. And so that's a good thing of hip hop. I mean, it can relate cultures and it doesn't matter like which race you are.
Another question would be the imagery. So hip hop has gotten a lot of critique from the 90s and continuing on, from those who see it as a detriment to community and identity, particularly of African Americans, African American women, and Latino communities. How do a lot of you have spoken about kind of enjoying the message and kind of connecting with the stories and even calling it entertainment? So what accountability does our entertainment and our consumption of this entertainment have on the impact of the images and the, some of the messages that are being conveyed in hip-hop music?
I think that, yes, it's entertainment, and I'm not really in favor of putting too much responsibility on the artists, because it's their expression, and I believe that it's their right to say what they want to say, and that it's more of kind of the parents' role to monitor what is getting into their kids' iPods. But more importantly, I don't put too much stock into the argument that hip-hop is influencing the community in a negative way. Hip-hop is a reflection of existing conditions. It's telling a story of something that's already happening. They're not just like making this up. It's not some fiction, and then they're saying it, and people are like, hey, you know what? Gangs and having prostitutes on the streets and drug dealers, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. It's already there, and you can't really blame them for just talking about it.
I definitely agree with you that you can't put much responsibility, because that limits the creative space of the artist. So I think the imagery, I think people sometimes misunderstand the imagery that they're trying to portray. For some people, let's say the prostitutes on the street, like Jesus Walks by Kanye West, they are positive images like that, where he actually has Jesus walking with him, saying to protect him. And then there's other songs where it's completely like, I think one of the like Akons, I think it was Smack That, where it's basically girls and a strip club and all that stuff. And I think it's more of the parents just really, like you said, trying to show their kids that's not the best thing, but that does happen in life, and they should recognize it, but not completely accept it as that's the best thing in the world.
I can see how hip-hop maybe can affect younger people more than it does maybe adults and their views. I know that maybe when Lil Wayne is like, I'm a G and I don't cry, even if I feel like I have pain, like that is not going to happen. You won't see tears from my eyes, or I do whatever I want and that's what makes me a G and that's just how it's going to be and no one can tell me what to do. I could see how, you know, a young man might be like, oh, I'm not supposed to cry. I'm not supposed to show emotion. I have to be manly. Or, like, oh, I want to be a G, so what is my teacher telling me what to do for? Like, I can skip class if I want. I could see how maybe they might translate it into that, but then, like, you know, I have to agree with Ben, like, you can't always say that because someone's expressing their opinions that everyone has to follow it. Like, even if you're just in school and there's like one kid in your class who wants to be a clown, doesn't mean that everyone else needs to be a clown. But hip-hop has so many great lyrics and great messages from different artists, but they're not always the ones that sell. And so a lot of people tend to like the stories that have like a deeper message as well, but not always do like we listen to them or that they get played on the radio. A great example is like Eminem's song Beautiful, and he's just talking about how no matter what happens, to accept yourself who you are. And coming from Eminem, that's like a great example of like, oh, this man is like really famous and he really has talent and things like that. But they, like, when an audience listens to rap, they get to pick which view they want to, like, go by. Do they want to go by the view that I don't really need to listen to anyone else, or do I need to be a G? So, I mean, it's pretty much the responsibility of the listener to listen to what they want, because there's always going to be good rap and bad rap, or there's always, like, a good and bad to everything, so we just have to choose.
Well, I think that basically in a society like this one, the responsibility should be pointed to the corporations who promote these kind of messages. I mean, we live in a society in which basically corporations decide what to promote, how to promote, and on which basis. And if a clear channel radio station, which is basically most of the radio stations in the States, decide to promote a rap act in a certain way, emphasizing the bad messages that it contains, it's definitely not like the rapper's fault. At the same time, I mean, is as any other media, the responsibility stands on parents, on the listeners, like Priscilla was saying, and stands on whoever gets the message to interpret it. But you cannot definitely blame the artist, because the artist is doing what the record label is saying him to do, and what the radio station are basically saying to the artist to do.
I like to think of it as like when you look at the newspaper, they're very first page, maybe like the front page, like you never see someone doing something incredibly great for the world. Like it always has to be that someone had died or like something bad. Like, so I kind of feel like we're conditioned in a way to always like be more astounded or wanting to know more about like the negative side of things. So maybe people might take it as like, oh, I see this girl like getting a lot of attention in the video because she wore really short shorts, so I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna go outside and like I'm gonna wear things like that. But like if we were to like change our views as a society, then we would recognize the good parts of hip-hop and like actually listen to those songs that you might not actually go into the album and continue to listen to because they didn't make it to the radio. And like you would actually see that there is like good things to hip hop and good images, because I cannot agree with that. Hip hop is just responsible for all the horrible things in the world when it's actually responsible for creative expression.
So let me ask this: what do you guys take into account when you're listening to hip hop? So if you saw an artist that was, you know, always promoting in their, just maybe not even in their lyrics, but in the imagery of their videos, women scantily clad, and all of these perhaps problematic images, would you stop? So you're asking the consumer, but how realistic is it that the consumer is going to take that accountability, and to what extent is it the rappers or the figures in hip hop to kind of mediate what they, you know, to kind of dial back on their own personal values? I think Mark Anthony Neal was talking about this before, right, with his example of David Banner. So David Banner takes 75 students to visit historically black colleges and universities, but he knows consciously that he's also creating images and messages that are problematic. So how do you grapple with that within yourselves, and how do you think that an artist, even though they know that's where the money is, has to grapple with those kind of decisions?
I went through that stage in my life where I was like, I'm not listening to any music that's going to promote women in a wrong way or promote like anyone in a wrong way. But then like I came to the realization that just because I listen to the music doesn't mean that that's who I am. And so there's a different, like I could differentiate myself between like listening to a good beat and enjoying someone's like creativeness than saying, like, oh, I'm going to, like, listen to this, and then this is how I'm going to live my life. Like, I'm not going to let a song dictate my life. And, like, I mean, a lot of people use the example Soulja Boy, and we always talk about that and things like that. And, like, most youth know the Soulja Boy dance, right? And, like, also in Mark Anthony Neal's, like, talk, we're talking about if you were really listening to what Supermaning is, like, you can ask, like, a youth, like, we will all know, like, how degrading that is, but, like, doesn't mean that when I'm listening to that song, if I do the dance, that I'm saying, like, that's what I'm standing for. I'm just, like, taking the dance as a dance, not as something that I'm going to say, like, no, like, no, this is what I'm standing for, because if that was the case, then I would definitely be against it. Like, I wouldn't necessarily listen to it.
I agree. I think that at some point you just need to think, like, whatever happened to personal responsibility? Just because, you know, like, I really enjoy listening to Snoop Dogg, but I don't treat women like they're hoes. I really enjoy listening to Eminem, but I'm not a horrible, horrible, disgusting person. I mean, you just because you, it's entertainment. That's all I can say. Like, I just need to, once again, I'll point to the movie metaphor. Like, people are so fine with watching Kill Bill and Grindhouse, and, like, these movies are disturbing, but that, like, that doesn't mean that's how you're going to live your life. You need to draw, you need to, I mean, I understand for kids that's a different story, and that's absolutely where the parents come in, but for, like, responsible adults, you, this is your life. You're the only person that controls it. You can't be, you can't just go through your life being influenced by everything you see and hear, and then, you know, when push comes to shove, just blame it on that. It's your life, so take responsibility for it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with Ben, and I should just add that I try to avoid as much as possible the single way of creating hits or the videos and so on. So if I see a video and it's somehow disturbing, you can just, like, change the TV channel and consider the lyrics. And if the lyrics as well are disturbing, you can just choose another song. So, I mean, it's not understandable to point and to blame hip-hop acts for this.
I definitely agree with everyone. It is personal responsibility. Everyone pretty much summed up what I said. But remember, any song is like a good book. If it's good enough to be read once, it's going to be constantly read, but it's just a story. So.
Well, I think at this time we should throw it back to the audience for comments or questions. So remember, please wait for the mic.
Hi. I'm just wondering, like, who y'all listen to mostly, or and who started you on this road? Like, you know, what hip-hop act first caught your imagination, and you know, what do you listen to now, more or less, I guess? That's my question.
I lived in New York for most of my life, so we have a small, there was a house next to us that constantly had parties at night, so I started listening to hip-hop through that retrospect, because I constantly, every time I go to bed, would hear hip-hop songs, reggae songs, and all that different kind of genres. It just got me interested to see, oh, well, let me see where this genre goes. And so ever since been there, I listen to every kind of genre of hip-hop, techno, pop, and everything. But I usually go mainstream with, like, Jay-Z, but they're mostly positive, positive raps.
For me, and I started listening to hip-hop in middle school, but it was just, like, looking back on it, it was really, really bad. Just the stuff that you see, like, almost worse than the stuff that you see on the radio or on TV now, but that's kind of vague, but I'm not even going to go into it. Just, like, stuff that has, like, no message, no real, like, intellectual redeeming qualities whatsoever, just a really cool beat. But that's beside the point. Well, and so one day I was in a record store, and just on complete chance, I picked up the Midnight Marauders by Tribe Called Quest, and it I don't know if I'll say, I guess it did kind of change my life. It definitely changed my life. I think it's one of the best CDs, definitely the best rap CDs ever made, and that kind of got me started. And then from there, I went from Tribe, I went to Nas, and then much later, more underground stuff like Immortal Technique and Dead Prez, De La Soul. So it just kind of progressed. Every week I find a new artist that I've never heard of, and could be older, could be somebody who's up and coming and underground, and it's constantly evolving for me.
I listen a lot to Eminem. I love Eminem. He is genius in so many ways. There's just this one song that I can't listen to, and it's called Kim, and he's talking about how he wants to, like, kill his wife and stuff, but it, like, disgusts me. But all the other songs, like, I really love, and especially, like, his song Toy Soldiers or Mockingbird or anything, or Beautiful, like, those songs I really love. And then some, like, he just has this whole thing that sometimes it's, like, really bad, like, his words, but then sometimes he's, like, really positive, so he always keeps me guessing, and I always listen to him. I do agree with Ben. I love Immortal Technique. He has, like, so many different stories, and one of my favorite stories is about why he doesn't love women. I mean, like, not, and, like, why does he fall in love again? And he was just basically saying that there was, like, this one girl in Spanish Harlem where, like, I was born. And, like, she just didn't want any of the guys, and all the girls were mad at her because she was the only one that, like, was still pure and that no one had, like, slept with her. And, like, he had decided that she was someone that he was going to really get to know and that he was going to really take the time to, like, understand her personality and not just view her as, like, this is a girl that I want to sleep with. And so, like, he did, and they fell in love, and she had pushed him away because she knew that she had AIDS, but he didn't know that. And so he never understood why, and so he, like, went back to the whole, like, drug life and things like that because he had gave it up for her. And then, like, he just couldn't, when he got out of jail, he only thought of her. He came back to her and realized that she was dead. And in her room was a letter for him waiting there for, like, 5 years now. And when he read it, like, he never felt he could fall in love again. And just, like, all his stories, whether it's about, like, how another story, Dancing with the Devil, and, like, how he had, like, you know, his friend had, like, raped his own mother, not knowing it was his mother, in order to get into a gang. Like, all these different stories. He's just, like, incredible. So I just really love listening to them.
Well, I grew up with Italian hip-hop, obviously, and I went all the way back to the American hip-hop after I discovered Rage Against the Machine, which were... are and probably will be my favorite band ever. From Rage Against the Machine, I discovered all this old school hip hop, American old school hip hop, and I'm just stuck there because every time I find something new and interesting, and I haven't, like, get the whole thing yet, so I'm waiting to understand every single part of it to move further. And apart from this, I'm really interested into the sample things, so the DJing part, and artists like Executioners or Danger Mouse, DJ Shadow, and so on.
I'm curious to know in your conversation of hip-hop, is there a ranking system and where you find elements of that you consider hip-hop? Like, for example, there's different genres, rap, R&B, reggaeton, reggae. Where do you put those, and how do you consider something hip-hop for you, or where would those fit into your hip-hop conversation?
Okay, I'll go back, since we didn't actually talk about, like, the root of hip-hop, like, I'll go back to that. Okay, I might be a little biased because I'm a dancer and all, but, like, to me, hip-hop really started from dance because before, like, rapping or anything ever came out, there was breakdancing, and it was a form of, like, when, like, there's a lot of African-American gangs who with, you know, like they were still in the gang field, but one of the ways that instead of fighting that they would get out their aggression was like having these battles. And so after that came the lyrics and the music. And I mean, we predominantly say that that's hip-hop today, more or less, because like that was the one thing that could make people money. Because if you're just dancing on the street, you don't make money from that, but that's where like it really came from. So to me, like, hip-hop would really be like something that I could dance to or listen to, in the sense that like reggaeton to me is a form of hip-hop, regular hip-hop within our society that we like automatically view as hip-hop, of course, is hip-hop to me. Or when I was talking about Thailand and how there was hip-hop, like all of that is hip-hop to me because they all have a story. It all allows me to dance, like, and it all allows me to, again, have a vent system that I could like go into another world too. So that's when I know it's hip-hop.
First of all, that's a really good question, Javen. Mm-hmm. I personally I would say that R&B and reggaeton are probably their own genres. I think that there's so many subgenres within hip hop, more than I could just name off the top of my head. My favorites are, I still really enjoy the just like the original, like quintessential old school East Coast rap, just like really dry basic beat and just a guy talking, Wu-Tang Clan, Tribe. That's just me. That's not the only hip hop. That's not what I'm saying. Like the West Coast, with where it's so much more based on the beat and like having like really groovy tracks, just dancing and that kind of stuff. That's hip hop too. But there's so many different flavors of it.
I'll definitely agree with Ben, but there's like too many flavors to count.
Yeah.
But to me, if it's showing a strong message or a story along with a great beat with it, for me, it's considered hip hop. I listen to various different countries, like I've said before. So for that, it's just how they say within their lyrics a story that you can relate to or can engulf yourself into.
I think I have some difficulties in creating like real differences between or among genres, because of the fact that basically if you consider the message, you cannot really say that like true hip-hop messages are stronger or weaker than some reggae message. If you consider the beats, then you find out that some bands may have created some kind of crossover between the two genres. So it's kind of difficult to create and to establish these real differences. And that's basically why I guess I like so much Rage Against the Machine, because they mix everything and it's not hip-hop, it's not rock, as well as many other acts.
And I just wanted to add, like, when I was talking about reggaeton, for example, like, and I was also talking about like the history of how hip-hop even started with the b-boying and the dancing. Like hip-hop, the dancing was started by African-Americans, but then like when it started to die down, it became so popular in within the Puerto Rican race. And so it like boomed from there. And so of course, when another race had come in and like wanted to learn more about this form of dancing or about like this form of lyrics, like they're gonna create their own style too. And so of course you get reggaeton, you speak Spanish, hey, you're gonna come out with like Spanish music that is also a form of hip hop. So I mean that's why like I feel all cultures could have their own form of hip hop.
First of all, thank you. Very insightful, interesting dialogue. I have a question that goes back to, you guys kind of all seem to agree on this whole idea, this notion of personal responsibility, as in like you can expose yourself to the music that you wish to expose yourself to. But I wanted to know how you guys felt about, doesn't the artist have personal responsibility as well, in which the art that they're creating, the messages they're sending out, can they be held accountable for anything? I mean, I can, you know, put a dog on a leash and let him starve to death and call it art, you know, and whether or not you choose to expose yourself to that, and this is a real case that actually happened, and it was very controversial. Whether or not I choose to expose myself to that, it still, you know, makes that art objectively wrong, immoral, unethical. And, you know, we see hip-hop breeding and cultivating this whole, you know, idea of, you know, being a consumer rather than a humanitarian. And Priscilla's talking about societal change, and we're talking about, you know, content does matter, but I want to know how you guys feel about, you know, doesn't the artist have personal responsibility? Like, should we denounce these quote-unquote artists that are projecting immoral, you know, ideas?
I feel like for the artists, they're running by the corporations, so in order to attack that aspect of artist responsibility, you also have to account the corporation's responsibility hand on hand. Now, the artist can take responsibility by revolting against, but it might be some people probably never heard of that. So what I think personally is that if they feel so strong about it, they have to create more of a movement together. And it is personal responsibility for both parties. We're not saying that the artist is completely free from those duties, but as well, you have to take into account that it's his money as well that he's fighting for. He's fighting for his livelihood, and if the corporation doesn't agree, if he doesn't mend to some parts of the aspects of the corporation what they want, he might end up living on the street or losing something because of that. So, in return, basically, if we want to put personal responsibility, we can't just put it on the artist. We have to put it on the corporation, and then if we can get the corporation to take responsibility, then it will allow the artist to be more allowed to take more responsibility and allowed to alter himself that way. Hopefully, I answered your question on that.
I would like to just go back to like thinking about like right ancient has nothing to do with hip hop. The whole like concept of money, man equals power, right? But now like if we change that into hip hop, it would probably be like money and how well that they could connect with everyone, like their status equals power. And so of course, like I would say that they definitely should take responsibility for what they do put out there, because they know that when they have a record that maybe 10 million people is going to listen to it. So they have 10 million people's ears and they have 10 million people's hearts nonetheless. And so I would definitely say that, of course, like they have that sort of power, but I was also saying that because maybe some artists abuse that power, do we allow that to affect us? And that's when I was saying that we need to be able to say, like, no, I'm not going to be who that artist is portraying himself or herself to be. So, of course, like, I would love to see, you know, maybe Jay-Z or all these different artists saying, like, great things that would affect, like, young people to want to do better, to strive for success, or to do all these great things. Of course, I would love that, but since many artists don't, yeah, we have to take the responsibility and like, okay, we could like this music, we could like the beats and stuff, but we have to understand that we're different from who this artist is, because most of the time, the artist that we see might not even be the person themselves. So we never really know who we're watching. We're just like watching the entertainment, so we have to separate ourselves sometimes.
I think that there's definitely a limit to what is like acceptable of what people are saying. There should never be censorship. There's never a reason for somebody to be forced not to say something. If they want to say it, that's their right to say it. But on the other hand, the public, every time you buy an album or download a song, you're voting. So it's definitely well within your power to fight back. If you think something is really repulsive, you don't have to listen to it and you don't have to buy it. And you can do everything in your power to influence people to do the same. I think with the guy that you were saying was starving a dog, I would be surprised if anybody actually appreciated that and liked it. I'm sure there was, I don't know, actually, I could be wrong about that. But I would imagine that there would be a pretty widespread revulsion to that. And I'm sure he got the message eventually. But that's really not the case with hip-hop. When you have these artists that are making really violent, misogynistic, just filthy records, they're going platinum. So, I mean, yeah, it's within your right not to like it, but if that many other people really, if that's what they want to hear, you can't, you know, this is a free capitalist society, you can't really blame them for making more of it.
I think that responsibility is a feeling that a listener gives to the artist, either because he's or she is pissed off or because she really appreciates the message. Therefore, in any case, as he said, you can have, like, you have plenty of ways to either boycott or promote that message. And once again, I mean, the artist isn't expressing anything for anyone else but himself. So, like, what you get from the message is your own, I think, and not the artist's responsibility or fault.
Just to, I guess, follow off of what he was saying, I'm not sure if I agree. Well, I think with Ben and Priscilla, I think, Priscilla, you were talking about how we should also hold the corporations responsible for the things that, for, you know, pressuring certain artists to say certain things. But I think, I don't know about you, but I expect a corporation to do the things that, like, they do. Their job is to make a profit, like, as a firm. But as individuals, as an African-American person from L.A., and say if you make a certain type of music when you know L.A.'s history, and you know about the violence that goes on there, and you make something like that, and you, you know, continue that cycle, I personally feel like it would be, like, more responsibility on that person. Like, you still have a personal responsibility. Like, yes, your job or, you know, whatever caused you to do this, but you still have your own brain, you have your own mind, you can make your own decision. And I feel also with, I guess this isn't a question, but I guess, like, a comment. But Ben, you were saying how you vote with you buying a record, but I just feel that's not completely true, and you're saying that, you know, certain records having platinum status, that shows that people are voting for them. But I think that it's just like, it omits the power of the mass media and the power of the radio and how certain corporations get their music played on the radio, and it has nothing to do with skill, nothing to do with people, you know, necessarily liking it or voting for it, which, because there's a power of the mass media and they have the power to influence people and to almost like force feed certain music on you. So I don't, like, what do you feel about that? Like, is that necessarily voting for it? Because I don't vote to have what's played on the radio, but there are certain things that are played.
Yeah, you definitely have a point there. I hate Soulja Boy, but he's still famous, no matter how hard I try to get rid of him. I don't really know what to say. Like I said before, you can't start censoring because that's just such a slippery slope. So I don't really know what the alternative is. I would just say that, yeah, the artists, they have some morality that they have to answer to the personally, but we can't control that. The only person that can control that is them. And I don't know. The only thing I can control is what I choose to listen to and what I purchase. And what I play on my WDCV radio show for all the 15 listeners that I reach.
So Isaiah, like, I totally understand how you feel that, okay, this artist has their own mind, their own soul, that they could promote things in the way that they wish to. But then if, like, we really think about it, like, without the producing companies, it would be hard for the artists, like, to get to as many people as they get to, like, to have to listen to them without the producing company. So sometimes this influence is going to be there, right? And so it's like, could I ask all artists to be brave? I would love to ask everyone in the world to be brave, but in all actuality, it's hard for an artist to just say, like, no, I want to do something different. And, like, the creative mind, of course, is gonna want to do something different, but they take the something different that they're gonna do and they still mix it in with what's in. And so they might have a creative beat, but what's in right now is, like, maybe talking about a specific subject. maybe about, you know, like getting all the girls you could get at a young age. Like, I don't know, whatever it would be. But I really agree that I wish that more artists would take the step that even if they started, like, maybe not on the road that they wanted to, that when they become famous, like, what is the excuse now for not doing the good things that they could do or the good that they could do? And it's not just, like Apollo was saying, it's not just, like, doing, like, bad presentation and then making money and then helping 75 young people when you're touching the ears of 10 million people. So, I mean, I would appreciate if some artists would, like, you know, change their, like, the way that they do present themselves. But then again, I'm not going to wish that if they don't want that for themselves.
I think I definitely agree with your point, Isaiah. I think it's more, it has to be moved as a movement, rather. It starts and then it has to ripple throughout the music industry for something like that to happen, to have rappers break away from that mold. But honestly, you have to get a force together, because if one person does it, it's not going to mean as much as a whole group doing this together, a group of significant rappers who are very influential in the industry for that.
I think there are very few rappers or any other band, doesn't matter the genre, that after success, like, still hold their morality or anything like this. And even if they are, and they exist, basically, even, like, less and less of them get to the point of being able to spread their message, because they basically still have to contract and get an agreement with the means of who is going to promote the message. And so, like, Mark Anthony Neal, I guess, yesterday was saying that even if Jay-Z releases a great single which has some powerful message, if the main corporation or if the radio station decides not to play it, the message itself doesn't reach the people.
More audience question?
I just want to ask a general question in terms of race. And it's twofold. First of all, hip-hop's very... I mean, it started as a black movement, basically. And still these days, if you look at mainstream rap especially, there's very few white rappers. There's very few Latino rappers. But then the flip side of that is that you have rappers like Eminem who openly said, listen, I wouldn't have sold half as many records if I was black, you know, because he has the white kids that buy his music. So I guess my question is generally what you guys think about race and race relations in hip-hop and where that's at.
Well, it has basically been proved that 70% of the audience of rap music is like white middle class people. So despite the fact that basically black people produce and put out in the market good or bad rap music, still the main audience is whites. I understand, and I agree with Eminem or whoever says that if Eminem wasn't white, he would have probably been not that famous. If Priscilla agrees with that or not.
No.
Okay. And that's good. But still, I mean, race is something that can influence people and actually influence people, but shouldn't probably.
Well, for that race issue, I think we're more blind to race when the talent is so exceptional. So if it's such an exceptional talent, it really doesn't matter what race. But for, like, the imagery views during the music videos, I know it's predominantly black or, like, of that nature. I guess it's because it's selling to the people, selling a story. So they're just trying to put the best characters within that story. But I think we're getting more and more diversified in hip-hop with the different countries being immersed in it and people coming more and more into this move, into this, I guess, culture. So, in a sense, it's becoming more and more blind to color and race, to me personally.
I disagree. I feel like, yes, it has become globally diverse and things like that, but yes, race still matters, because if a white person like Eminem went on his like record and said, nigga this, nigga that, right, it would be something way bigger than if like maybe a black person said it, a Latino person said it. So then you like get this whole idea of like what can certain races say in their music and what can others not. So, I mean, race still plays a part in it, but I wouldn't go to the extent that Eminem is, I mean, I love Eminem, so I'm going to, like, of course, not feel that way. But I wouldn't say that because he's white that he has, like, all the white people listening to him, because I'm pretty sure, like, from listening to all the stuff that he has said, he had to work extra hard to gain the respect of, like, the hip-hop community because of his race. And so sometimes people have to work extra hard. And it might like be reverse discrimination and maybe not, but I'm not going to say hip-hop is discriminatory at all. But I do agree with Priscilla that it doesn't really matter what race it is. Like, anyone could have that creative genius, but there's still certain things that are touchy within the hip-hop community. Like I was saying, like the derogatory words, like who can use it and who can't. So, I mean, I think it's getting there, but it's not totally there yet, because there's not that freedom that anyone could just say whatever they want and then it'll be okay with it. It's like when Eminem got mad because like someone was talking about his daughter inside of another like song, like, no, that's just not okay. You're stepping over the line, he said. So there's just like certain things you just can't say, but, well, I mean, you could, but you're just gonna get trouble for it.
I agree. I think there's definitely still some boundaries. As to what's like specifically responding to what you said about Eminem, I'm with Priscilla on this one. Eminem is an absolutely exceptional rapper, mm-hmm. possibly the best. And the fact that, stop shaking your head, Chris. And the fact that he's famous, I think, is definitely a result of that, and nothing else. If you look at other rappers like the Beastie Boys, they're white and they're good, but they're not the best. They're not at the top of their class, and they've faded. If you look at Vanilla Ice, he had no talent, and the fact that he was a novelty got him some fame, but people quickly realized that he has nothing to offer, and he's gone now. I think it's a little interesting that you only see. That you see so few non-black and Latino artists. There's got to be some good Asian rappers out there. I've never seen them, but yeah, exactly. Like that. There's got to be. I'm sure that there's talent in other races that, but you just don't see it. And I don't know if it's a cultural thing that like within that race they're just not trying, and it's not something that they aspire to, or why that is, but there's definitely, like, I think it's not a coincidence that it's so predominantly black and Latino.
If I could add, this conversation is intriguing. I think it's also who legitimizes. So Eminem is legitimized because he has a lot of black buy-in in his videos, right? So all of these other non-African American, non-Latino, have buy-in, be like, no, we accept them. And I think that also plays, it's still a race thing, but it also plays into who's going to legitimize. Like, no one was legitimizing, like, Vanilla Ice. I mean, he had some black dancers in the background, but, you know, they're not his posse that are rooting him. But I would like to have us all thank the student panelists for their commentary, and thank you for the audience.
I just wanted to remind you that there are still two remaining events in the Hip Hop Symposium. This evening at 4, there's a faculty weigh-in on the Mark Anthony Neal talk from last night, and there's also Hip Hop in Action at 7 and 8 TS. So hope to see you guys there.